أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء ويجعلكم خلفاء الأرض أإله مع الله قليلا ما تذكرون.
After reciting the Tashahud, Ta'awuz, and Surah Al-Fatiha, Hazrat Khalid ibn Sa'id V, Ayyadullah Ta'ala ibn Sa'udi, recited verse 63 of Surah An-Naml and stated, "Or who answers the cry of the distressed person when he calls upon him and removes the evil and makes you successors in the earth? Is there a God with Allah? Little is it that you reflect." Allah the Almighty states that He answers the prayers of the distressed and afflicted. In the previous Friday sermon too, I spoke on the topic of prayer in light of extracts of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, on how one should supplicate and what is the wisdom and philosophy behind it. I will continue with the same topic of prayer today as well. As I mentioned, Allah the Almighty states that He answers the prayers of the distressed. A distressed person does not only refer to someone who is afflicted, but to a person whose every avenue has been closed off. Hence, when we bow down before Allah the Almighty in order to supplicate, we should do so by developing this state and supplicate to Allah the Almighty by saying that we have no one besides You. We solely rely on You, place our trust in You, and have come to You alone. From the perspective of the Jamaat in particular, it should be remembered that there is no one besides Allah the Almighty who can take us out of these circumstances that are prevalent in Pakistan and some other countries. As a matter of fact, even from an individual perspective, a person should believe that it is Allah the Almighty alone who does everything. It is He alone who fulfills our needs. It is He alone who is worthy of being bowed down to. It is He alone who provides means, and even those who do not bow down before Him are recipients of His graciousness and benefit therefrom. I mentioned one particular point the Promised Messiah alayhi salam made in relation to a distressed person in the previous sermon as well, that Allah the Almighty has made it a specific sign of recognizing Him that He answers the prayer of the distressed. Thus, one must develop a state of restlessness in their supplications. Hence, we should pay great attention towards prayers, Since it is prayers alone that will take us out of the circumstances we currently find ourselves in. As a matter of fact, it is only through prayers that the Muslim Ummah can be saved from this trial. If they supplicate with full understanding, and along with this, they stop their opposition of the one sent by Allah the Almighty. Nevertheless, as far as Ahmadis are concerned, every Ahmadi should thoroughly embed this fact in their minds that they should develop a state of distress and restlessness in prayers if they desire their prayers to be answered. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam has discussed this subject at one place. He stated, "Remember well that God Almighty is not in need of anyone at all. His attention is not drawn until one prays to Him abundantly and repeatedly and with urgency and anguish." He further states, "Anguish is a prerequisite for the acceptance of prayers. And the state of our anguish should be that we are 100% certain that all the paths of the world have closed. And now there is only one path, which is the path of God, the path of the one who accepts our repentance, who can remove us from our difficulties. Thus, we should create such a state of pain in our prayers. Otherwise, if this worship and remembrance of God is mere lip service, then there is no benefit of it. Regarding this, on one occasion, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, "I command you to remember Allah abundantly and understand that the example of this remembrance is like a man whose enemies are swiftly chasing him until the man runs and takes refuge in a strong fortress and is thereby saved from the capture of his enemies. In the same way, mankind can be free from Satan. Otherwise, there is no other way. Thus, there is a great need for prayers. There are prayers from the Holy Quran. There are prayers of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. There are prayers taught to us by the Promised Messiah ﷺ. There are prayers in one's own language. We should pay great attention to these if we wish to leave the conditions which we are facing all around us, or the conditions which are being created. We cannot freely pray. We cannot freely express our love for the Holy Prophet ﷺ in Pakistan and in some other countries. We cannot freely recite the last law-bearing book of Allah, the Holy Quran. We cannot freely and openly express any type of Islamic symbol or sign. The agents of Satan are constantly lying in wait as to when or where they are given the chance to outstrip one another in starting legal proceedings against the Ahmadis, so that they may, in their estimation, earn a reward from Allah. Some days ago, an Ahmadi was martyred, and the killers were apprehended. When they were questioned, they said that they asked the cleric of such and such religious school as to what was the easiest way to enter paradise. The cleric responded that the easiest way is that you kill a disbeliever. And since Ahmadis are disbelievers, that is why it is permissible to kill them. It is permissible to murder them. In reality, however, they are creating their own means of being engulfed in the wrath of Allah the Almighty. Nevertheless, we need to become those who develop anguish in our prayers. And one of the signs of those who have developed this state of anguish, which the Promised Messiah has informed us of, in light of the word of Allah the Almighty, is that the people who develop anguish are those who have suffered great loss as a form of trial, not as a form of punishment. Today, it is only the Ahmadis who are going through such trials, who have these restrictions placed on them, that they cannot even express their love of God and love of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. These are no selfish desires or crimes for which we face punishment. These are trials through which we are facing. Thus, in these days and forever, we should be engaged in prayers and the remembrance of God Almighty. We should create a state of anguish in our prayers when we prostrate. At this time, I wish to remind about some prayers from the Holy Quran, the Holy Prophet, and the Promised Messiah. It is not enough to just simply recite Ameen. Rather, we should ponder over these prayers and constantly focus on them, reciting them in a state of anguish. Aside from this, we should also continue praying in our own languages. The Promised Messiah has also stated that we should pray in our own languages so that one develops a state of distress and it can resonate more in one's heart. Regarding those who remember God, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, "The example of one who remembers God and the example of one who does not is like the living and the dead." Thus, we should strive to be among those who are living, who always have the remembrance of God Almighty upon their lips. Then, on another occasion, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, "Prayer is also beneficial for salvation from those hardships which have already descended, and it also saves you from those hardships which are yet to descend. Thus, O servants of Allah, make prayer mandatory upon yourselves." Thus, we should always remember the importance of prayer. As I have said, I will mention some prayers, among which the first one is Surah Al-Fatiha. We should not only recite it in our daily prayers, rather we should also recite it at other times as well. We included them in the Jubilee prayers that people used to recite. Now we should all have the habit of constantly reciting it. On one occasion, the Promised Messiah ﷺ states that the special quality of Surah Al-Fatiha is that studying it with attention and sincerity purifies the heart, dispels layers of darkness. It removes those coverings which darken the heart and expands the mind. It bestows open-mindedness and grants solace. And drawing a seeker after truth towards the Holy One, invests him with such light and manifest signs that are characteristic of those who have attained nearness to the Holy One. It brings a person close to Allah the Almighty if they read it carefully, and they can attain the same nearness as to those who are close to Allah the Almighty. It is not that we cannot attain it, and which cannot be acquired by man through any other device or plan. Thus, by reciting Surah Al-Fatiha carefully and repeatedly, a person draws near to Allah the Almighty. Furthermore, the prayers within it are enough to create a state of anguish within a person if they focus on them. Then there is a prayer in the Holy Quran, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Our Lord, grant us good in this world as well as good in the world to come, and protect us from the torment of the fire. Regarding this prayer, on one occasion the Promised Messiah ﷺ stated, "The more diverse a believer's worldly associations, the more they advance in higher ranks, because their prime objective is religion. Since religion is the prime objective of a believer, therefore, Their worldly associations also grant him high ranks in the sight of Allah the Almighty, because they give precedence to their faith. And the world, along with its wealth and honor, serves the faith. Hence, the fundamental point is that the world must not be one's ultimate objective. As a matter of fact, in pursuing worldly affairs, the primary purpose must be religion, and the world ought to be pursued in a manner that serves the faith. The Promised Messiah Islam continues, Allah the Exalted has taught us the following prayer, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. In this prayer, the world has been given precedence. But what world exactly? It is the good of this world which becomes a means by which to reap good in the hereafter. The fact that we have been taught this prayer clearly demonstrates that in attaining the world, a believer ought to have in view the good of the hereafter. The words Hasanatu Dunya, as mentioned here, encompass all the best means by which a Muslim believer ought to pursue the world. When one seeks the good of this world in this manner, they can never partake in wrong practices in order to attain the good of this world. Their faith and the pleasure of Allah the Almighty will always take precedence, and one would act accordingly. The Promised Messiah continues, pursue the world in every such way that leads to benefit and goodness, not in a manner that causes pain to another human being, nor in a manner that is disgraceful or ignoble amongst the people. Engaging in the world in such a manner would definitely enable one to reap the good of the hereafter. Thus, one ought to pursue the good of this world in such a manner that it becomes a means of attaining the grace of Allah the Almighty, and one ought to strive in giving precedence to one's faith over the world. If one does this, only then will they truly be attaining the blessings from their prayers. On one occasion, whilst advising the Jamaat, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated, our Jamaat should particularly recite the prayer in these days. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. This is so that we become those who give precedence to their faith over the world, and also to remain protected from the fire that has been set alight by the enemies. Nowadays, in light of the current circumstances of the world, the weapons which are being used in wars are such that throw fire. May Allah the Almighty protect us from this fire and grant us the good of this world and the hereafter. Ahmadis need to especially pray for themselves and for the rest of the world. Another prayer which we should particularly recite with great anguish and fervency is the following Quranic prayer. رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. O our Lord, pour forth steadfastness upon us and make our steps firm and help us against the disbelieving people. Do not let any kind of fear or any situation cause us to stumble. Another prayer which one should repeatedly offer and with great fervency is as follows. Our Lord, do not punish us if we forget or fall into error. And our Lord, lay not on us a responsibility as thou didst lay upon those before us. Our Lord, burden us not with what we have not the strength to bear, and efface our sins, and grant us forgiveness, and have mercy on us. Thou art our master, so help us against the disbelieving people. In order to strengthen our faith, we should also recite the following prayer. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. Our Lord, let not our hearts become perverse after Thou hast guided us, and bestow on us mercy from Thyself. Surely Thou alone art the bestower. I shall now mention some of the prayers taught to us by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu asked the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to teach him a prayer that he should recite in his salat, to which the Holy Prophet stated that he should recite, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi dhulman kathira wa la yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta faghfir li maghfiratan min indik warhamni innaka antal ghafurur rahim. O Allah, I have greatly wronged my soul, and there is none who can forgive except You. So forgive me and have mercy on me. Surely You are the most forgiving, oft returning with mercy. The Holy Prophet particularly emphasized Hazrat Abu Bakr to recite this prayer. Musab bin Saad relates from his father that once a Bedouin man came before the Holy Prophet and requested to be taught something which he would recite. The Holy Prophet stated, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Allahu akbar kabira. Allahu akbar kabira. Alhamdulillahi kathira. Subhanallahi rabbil alameen. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aziz al-hakim. There is none worthy of worship except Allah. He is one and has no partner. Allah is the greatest. All praise is due to Him. Holy is Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. There is no might and power but that of Allah, the All-Powerful, All-Wise. Upon this, the Bedouin man submitted, O Messenger of Allah, this prayer is for my Lord and is in praise of Him. However, what is it that I should recite for myself? The Holy Prophet stated, recite, Allahumma ighfirli warhamni wahdini warzuqni. O Allah, forgive me, have mercy on me, guide me, and provide for me. In another narration, it is mentioned that when a person would accept Islam, the Holy Prophet ﷺ would teach him the following prayer. Abu Malik Ashja'i relates from his father that whenever someone accepted Islam, the Holy Prophet would teach them Salat and would tell them to supplicate in the following words. Allahumma ighfir li warhamni wahdini wa'afini warzuqni. O Allah, forgive me, have mercy on me, guide me, protect me, and provide for me. We also recite the same prayer between the two sajdas, i.e. prostrations. However, people get up from their prostration and then quickly go back into the second prostration. And it does not seem that they even recited this prayer, as if this prayer has no importance to them. However, one ought to recite this whilst carefully pondering over it. And where it mentions to be granted provisions, it refers not only to worldly provisions, but also spiritual provisions and means for one to excel in this as well. Thus, we ought to pray with this aspect in mind as well, in that while we praise Allah the Almighty, we should also pray for our own reformation, guidance, and to excel in our spirituality. We should not only pray for worldly things. In fact, we should pray with great attention for the betterment of our physical and spiritual states. Then we shall witness every kind of blessing rain down upon us. Another prayer which has been taught by the Holy Prophet ﷺ has been related by Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. She states that when the Holy Prophet would wake up in the night, he would recite, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka, Allahumma astaghfiruka li dhanbi, wa as'aluka rahmatak, Allahumma zidni ilma, wa la tuziq qalbi ba'da idh hadaytani, وَهَبْلِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. O Allah, there is none worthy of worship except You. O Allah, I seek Your forgiveness for my sins and seek Your mercy. O Allah, increase me in knowledge and let my heart not become perverse after You have guided me, and grant me Your mercy. Verily, You alone are the greatest of providers. In another narration related by Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, that whenever the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was concerned about a particular matter, he would recite, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum bi rahmatika astaghith. O living and self-subsisting and all-sustaining God, by Your mercy I cry for help. Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr bin As relates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, the prayer of the one fasting which is made at the time of breaking the fast is such that it is not rejected. Ibn Abi Mulaika narrates that when Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr would break his fast, he would pray, Allahumma inni as'aluka birahmatik allati wasi'at kulla shay'in an taghfira li. O Allah, I ask You by Your mercy, which encompasses all things, to forgive me. Hazrat Salama narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would supplicate, Rabbi ighfir warham wahdini lit-tariq al-aqwam. O Allah, forgive me, have mercy upon me, and guide me to the path that is straight, right, and firm. Now, if the Holy Prophet was offering this prayer, how fervently must we offer these supplications? There is mention of a prayer of the Holy Prophet for himself. The blessed wife of the Holy Prophet, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, relates that he would say in his prayers, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhab al-qabr, wa a'udhu bika min fitnat al-masih al-dajjal, wa a'udhu bika min fitnat al-mahya wa fitnat al-mamat, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ma'athim wal-maghram. O Allah, I seek refuge in You from the punishment of the grave, and I seek refuge in You from the trial of the Messiah Dajjal, i.e. the Antichrist, and I seek refuge in You from the trials of life and death. O Allah, I seek refuge in You from sin and from debt. Someone asked the Holy Prophet, why do you pray so fervently for protection from debt? He answered, if a person is in debt, when they speak, they utter falsehood, and when they make an oath, they break it. Undoubtedly, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was pure from all these matters regarding which he was praying, and he was thus offering this prayer for his people's protection from them, that they refrain from falsehood and the breaking of oaths. We must analyze ourselves to see that if we are offering these prayers, are we truly adhering to these matters? Hence, one should make this prayer that Allah the Almighty safeguards them from these, and that He continues to bless us with the good from this world. Then there is a prayer of the Holy Prophet which Hazrat Aisha has thus narrated. It is a lengthy prayer, which is why I shall read the translation. O Allah, I seek Your refuge from indolence and old age, from debt and from sin. O Allah, I seek Your refuge from the punishment of the fire and the trial and punishment of the grave, from the evil of the tribulation of affluence, and from the evil of the tribulation of poverty, and the trial of the Antichrist. O Allah, wash away my sins with the cool water of snow, and cleanse my heart from all the sins, as filth is cleaned from white garments, and put a great distance between me and my sins, as great as the distance You have made between the east and the west. There are many prayers mentioned here. If the Holy Prophet ﷺ used to offer this supplication, then as I have mentioned already, and the previous hadith is similar to this, then to what extent should we pay attention to this? Thus, it is from these prayers that we can bring about a change in our individual lives and give benefit to our communal lives. However, at the same time, we must feel the same pain the Holy Prophet would feel when offering these prayers. In fact, he would not only have this fervency for himself, but for his people as well. Therefore, when offering these prayers, we must always bear in mind the pain that the Holy Prophet had in his heart. The Holy Prophet sought special protection from the trial of the Antichrist, which is at its peak in this era. Hence, as the servants of the Promised Messiah, and thus the true followers of the Holy Prophet, we must pay special attention to this prayer. Pray abundantly to be safeguarded from the trial of the Antichrist, and pray for the protection of the world. There is mention in Sahih al-Bukhari of a prayer of the Holy Prophet during Tahajjud. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates that when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would wake up to offer the Tahajjud prayer, he would supplicate. This is a lengthy prayer, so I shall read the translation. O Allah, all praise belongs to you. You are the sustainer of the heavens and the earth, and whatever is in them. All praise belongs to you. Yours is the sovereignty of the heavens and the earth, and whatever is in them. All praise belongs to you. You are the light of heaven and earth, and whatever is in them. All praise belongs to you. You are the truth. Your promise is true. Returning to you is true, and your word is true. Heaven and hell are true. All the prophets are true, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is true, and the promised hour is true. O Allah, I incline towards you. For your sake I have disputed and sought judgment from you. So forgive all my past and future sins, those which were apparent and those which were hidden. You are the first and the last. You alone are worthy of worship. Or he said, there is none worthy of worship besides you. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that a person asked, O Messenger of Allah, I heard your prayer last night. What I could hear you say was, Allahumma ghfir li dhanbi wa wasi' li fi dari wa barik li fi ma razaqtani. O Allah, forgive me my sins, expand my home, and bless me in that which you have provided for me. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, do you find anything missing in this prayer? Thus, these are the prayers of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. At the very least, one should learn their translation or their meaning and pray in this manner. Then in Sahih al-Bukhari, there is a prayer, Allahumma jal fi qalbi nuran wa fi basari nuran wa fi sam'i nuran wa an yamini nuran wa an yasari nuran wa fawqi nuran wa tahti nuran wa amami nuran wa khalfi nuran wa ja'alli nuran. It is recorded that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite this prayer, meaning, O Allah, place light in my heart, light in my eyes, light in my hearing, light on my right, light on my left, light above me, light below me, light in front of me, light behind me, and grant me light. Then another prayer of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is recorded as follows. Ziyad bin Alaqa relates from his paternal uncle, Qutba bin Malik, that the Holy Prophet used to pray, O my Allah, I seek your protection from bad morals, evil deeds, and evil desires. This is a very concise prayer which everyone can easily recite. I seek your protection from bad morals, evil deeds, and evil desires. If a person recites this and does so with anguish, then many evils will be removed and virtues will be established. Then it is recorded in a narration that Hazrat Abu Umama radiallahu anhu relates that the Holy Prophet ﷺ recited so many prayers that we could not remember them. Whenever he was sitting, he would be teaching prayers. He recited many prayers. There were so many prayers that they could not even remember them all. We submitted to the Holy Prophet, O Messenger of Allah, you have recited many prayers. However, we do not remember any of them. Upon this, the Holy Prophet said, should I not tell you a prayer which is the essence of all those prayers? Listen closely to what he said. The Holy Prophet stated, you should pray, O Allah, we seek from you the very good which your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sought. We seek your refuge from every evil which your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sought your refuge from. You are the true helper. We pray unto you alone. Without the help of Allah, we possess not the capability of virtue, nor the strength to safeguard against the attacks of Satan. If we were to offer this prayer, then not only will we increase in our love for the Holy Prophet, but then all comprehensive prayers will emanate from our hearts. Then there is a prayer for pardon and forgiveness. Hazrat Abu Musa al-Ash'ari's son relates from his father that the Holy Prophet ﷺ used to pray, O my Lord, forgive my mistakes, my lack of knowledge, all of my transgression in my matters, about which you know best. This is a prayer being made by the Holy Prophet, in whom such evils are not even possible to fathom. He possessed only virtue. However, he said these things in order to teach his people. O my Allah, forgive my faults, the mistakes I have made knowingly and out of ignorance, all which I would have committed. O Allah, forgive all those faults which I have committed before, and all those which I committed later, those I have committed in secret, and those which I have committed in the open. You are the first and the last, and you have power over all things. This is a narration from Sahih al-Bukhari, and these narrations are so that we may pray. These prayers have been taught for us. Then a prayer for times of difficulty and anguish is mentioned as follows. La ilaha illallahu al-azim al-halim. La ilaha illallahu rabbul arsh al-azim. La ilaha illallah rabbul samawati wa rabbul ard wa rabbul arsh al-kareem. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet used to pray the following during times of difficulty. There is none worthy of worship but Allah, the Mighty, the Forbearing. There is none worthy of worship but Allah, Lord of the Magnificent Throne. There is none worthy of worship but Allah, Lord of the Heavens and Lord of the Earth and Lord of the Noble Throne. There is a prayer for times of trial. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam يتعوذ من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet used to seek refuge from the trouble of affliction, meeting with wretchedness, an evil decree, and the gloating of enemies. There is a prayer to be saved from the evils of this world. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-bukhli وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْجُبْنِ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ أَنْ نُرَدَّ إِلَىٰ أَرْذَلِ الْعُمْرِ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الدُّنْيَا وَعَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ. Musab bin Saad bin Abi Waqas relates from his father, who said, the Holy Prophet ﷺ taught us the following words, just as someone teaches how to read and write. He lay emphasis on them, just as is done in teaching how to read and write. What was the prayer that he taught? O Allah, I seek your protection from miserliness, I seek your protection from cowardice, and I seek your protection from being returned to the worst part of life. I seek your protection from the trials of this world and from the torment of the grave. This is a very comprehensive prayer, a prayer for attaining guidance. Its translation is that Imran bin Hussein radiallahu anhu states, the Holy Prophet said to my father Hussein, if you had accepted Islam, I would have taught you two statements which would have benefited you. He says, when Hussein accepted Islam, he said, O Messenger of Allah, teach me those two statements which you had promised me. Upon this, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, say, Allahumma alhimni rushdi wa a'idhni min sharri nafsi. O Allah, inspire in me guidance and deliver me from the evils within myself. This is another very important prayer to recite these days. A prayer to protect against the ill attentions of the opponents. Allahumma inna naj'aluka fi nuhurihim wa na'udhu bika min shururihim. Hazrat Abu Burda bin Abdullah narrates, he says, my father told me that whenever the Holy Prophet perceived danger from a certain nation, he would pray in the following words, O Allah, we ask you to restrain them by their necks, and we seek refuge in you from their evil. These days, Ahmadis should recite this prayer a great deal. May Allah the Almighty protect us from the evil of the opponents. Now I will mention those prayers which have been taught to us by the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, which include some quotations and some prayers. In a letter addressed to the Promised Messiah, Maulvi Nazir Hussain Sahib Sakhar Dehlvi wrote, what is the method of attaining attentiveness? How can one increase their attention towards Allah the Almighty? Upon this, the Promised Messiah replied, may the peace and mercy of blessings of Allah be upon you. The method is to continue praying for yourself in Salat, and do not become satisfied with offering prayer casually and unattentively. Rather, offer Salat with as much attention as is possible. If you find yourself unable to focus, then each of the five prayers after every rak'ah, stand up and pray, meaning whilst in the standing position of the prayer. O God, O Almighty God of power and might, I am a sinner, so much so that the poison of sin has penetrated my heart and every fiber of my being, and I am unable to attain fervor and focus in prayer. By your grace and benevolence, pardon my sins and forgive my faults. Soften my heart and establish within it your grandeur, fear, and love, so that in this way my hard-heartedness may be removed, thereby enabling me to focus in Salat. One must pray to Allah the Almighty in order to establish focus in Salat. Then the Promised Messiah of Islam offered the following prayer, O my beneficent, O my God, I am an unable servant of yours, sinful and forgetful. You have observed me commit wrongdoing after wrongdoing, yet bestowed bounty after bounty. You observed sin after sin, yet bestowed favor upon favor. You have always covered my faults and furnished me with countless of your blessings. Now too, have mercy upon an incapable and sinful person such as myself, and forgive my boldness and ingratitude. Save me from this grief, for there is no escape except in you. Ameen. In my opinion, this is a prayer that we must recite on a daily basis. We should analyze ourselves. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam wrote this prayer in a letter to Hazrat Khalifatul Masih the First radiallahu anhu. Keeping in mind his status and eminence, we ought to ponder as to how much we are in need of reciting this prayer. If the Promised Messiah wrote this prayer to Hazrat Khalifatul Masih the First, then we must recite this prayer even more and with full diligence. If a prayer emanates from the heart, It will draw the blessings of Allah the Almighty. There is another prayer of the Promised Messiah which not only exhibits his humility and fear of Allah, but it also reminds us that we must analyze our own conditions. The prayer is as follows. O Lord of all the worlds, it is beyond me to offer you gratitude for all your favors. You are the most merciful and compassionate, and the bounties that you have conferred upon me are countless. Forgive me my sins, lest I am ruined. Fill my heart with sincere love for you, so that I may receive life. Cover my faults, and allow me to perform such deeds which become the source of your pleasure. I seek refuge in your noble countenance, lest your punishment befalls me. Have mercy, have mercy, have mercy, and save me from the calamities of this world and the hereafter. For all grace and compassion is in your hand. Ameen. Then there is a prayer that the Promised Messiah ﷺ penned in the beginning of A Message of Peace, which we must recite profusely. The Promised Messiah ﷺ wrote, O my Almighty God, my beloved guide, show us the path which leads the righteous and the sincere to Thee, and save us from treading the path which leads to carnal desires, malice, spite, and worldly pursuits. I.e., that we must always give precedence to our faith. Furthermore, whilst imparting guidance to us, the Promised Messiah stated, the most excellent prayer is one that seeks the pleasure of Allah the Almighty and grants protection from sin, because it is through sin that the hearts become hardened and a person becomes a slave to the material world. We ought to pray for Allah the Almighty to protect us from sin, as sin causes our hearts to become hardened, and to show us the way which leads to His pleasure. There is a prayer of the Promised Messiah, we are your sinful servants, and our inner self has overcome us. Forgive us and save us from the afflictions of the hereafter. Whilst beseeching for the world to be reformed, there is a prayer of the Promised Messiah, O God, the Omnipotent, even though it is your practice from time immemorial that you grant intellect to children and the unlettered, and shroud the eyes and hearts of worldly philosophers and thinkers with a dark covering, but I most humbly submit at your threshold for you to bring over a party from among them into this fold, i.e. for God Almighty to bring a group of people towards the Jamaat who are from among the scholars, just as you have bestowed some already. Grant them the eyes, ears, and hearts with which they can see, hear, and understand, and enable them to value the great favor which you have bestowed at its appointed time, i.e. commissioning the Promised Messiah, and to be mindful of it. If you so desire, you can do this, for there is no such thing as impossible for you. Ameen. Even today it is vital for us to follow the Promised Messiah in offering this prayer. Only if the world, and in particular the Muslim Ummah, reform themselves and turn towards the Promised Messiah, can they reclaim their former glory. And they will be saved from the humiliation and contempt they face today. May Allah grant reason to our leaders and scholars, and there is bound to be some from among them who have a virtuous disposition. May Allah bring them into this fold. Thus, we must offer this supplication with great fervency and passion. Then there is a mention of a prayer which the Promised Messiah wrote in a letter to Nawab Muhammad Ali Khan Sahib. He wrote that one ought to pray abundantly and make humility a salient feature of oneself. One should not simply offer supplications out of habit or custom, as this is futile. A prayer which is supplicated as a mere custom or ritual is of no value. In terms of supplications, one ought to make it a habit that aside from the compulsory prayers, go in seclusion and beseech with the utmost humility in one's own language. I.e., aside from the compulsory prayers, one ought to offer voluntary prayers. Offer prayers with humility as if an insignificant being is supplicating in the royal court of God Almighty as follows. O Lord of all the worlds, it is beyond me to offer you gratitude for all your favors. You are most merciful and compassionate, and the bounties that you have conferred upon me are countless. Forgive me my sins, lest I am ruined. Fill my heart with sincere love for you, so that I may receive life. Cover my faults, and allow me to perform such deeds which become the source of your pleasure. I seek refuge in your noble countenance, lest your punishment befalls me. Have mercy and save me from the calamities of this world and the hereafter. For all grace and compassion is in your hand. Ameen. In order for these prayers to be granted acceptance, it is necessary for us to send salutations upon the Holy Prophet in abundance. Without invoking salutations, our prayers remain suspended in the heavens and do not reach Allah the Almighty. We must recite this profusely. May Allah the Almighty grant us the opportunity to offer these heartfelt prayers. May we offer supplications in our own languages as well. May we offer prayers by developing a state of anguish and distress, wherein these prayers emanate from the depths of our hearts. Also pray so that the blessings of Ramadan remain with us forever. May we attain the blessings of this Friday and all subsequent Fridays. Pray earnestly for those who are imprisoned solely for the crime of professing belief in the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, whether they are in Pakistan, in Yemen, or in other places. May Allah the Almighty create the means for their release and repel the evil of the mischievous ones back on them. Pray profusely that may we and our progeny be safeguarded from the flames of war and its consequences. May Allah protect us from this. It seems now as the war is at our doorstep. In fact, it has already begun. The world war has begun. However, world leaders are not worried in the slightest. They think that they will remain safe and ordinary citizens will perish. But this is a figment of their imagination. They are giving precedence to their egos. They have no concern for their people. These are the schemes of the Antichrist. They deceive the people by saying they do such and such thing for them. Now the people are beginning to raise their voices in certain areas. But their ploys have distanced the masses from God Almighty. They were distant from Him already. Furthermore, every form of indecency and evil is rife, and this is something that displeases Allah the Almighty. The consequences of this is that they will succumb to Allah the Almighty's wrath. In all this, it is vital for Ahmadis to draw closer to God Almighty and to develop fervency in our prayers so that we can remain protected from their evil. Pray for those people among them who have a virtuous disposition, that may they remain protected from their evil. As I have mentioned, the world war has started. The war has spread from the borders of Palestine to other areas. The attack on the Iranian consulate in Syria is a grave crime under every law. But because it was carried out by Israel, the world is silent. Now the scope of war will widen as a result of this. There is an uproar owing to the killing of aid workers, and some people have begun to speak out against it. But they were silent when it came to the killing of innocent Palestinians. They are now feeling the pain when it is their own people who have been killed. Nonetheless, we should pray that may Allah the Almighty save humanity and enable us to do justice in offering supplications.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله يامر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ